CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yes. It's Friday. Yes. Friday. God, I do love Fridays. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, see, I don't pretend you're not excited.
Not that excited.
How dare you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Huh. I gave you a good morning. That's what I gave you just now. Good morning. Good morning. Huh. You know what?
Good morning, Ben.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ben. People have been saying Ben is no longer part of the show. He wasn't here Monday. He's not coming on Wednesdays anymore. Now
he's absconded.
They'll be surprised that you're here for a Friday.
Well, I know. And this week I was ill, like...
Someone just crashed into something on the N1. They just fucking Ben's there. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm here. Mondays and Fridays, yeah? Committed to the team as I've been for so long now.
So what are you, sick?
Yeah, I had such bad flu because I had the Ironman weekend last weekend. And I was hanging around all those bloody triathletes.
I saw you you sent me pictures of Anthea.
Anthea was killing it.
Yeah.
Just knocking men out of the way as she went.
Jesus, elbowing people.
Yeah. Oh.
No, she's very vicious.
She is.
You don't want to get in Anthea's way during a half Ironman.
What constitutes a half Ironman?
You really care about that answer? Let's just hold on. Do you really give a shit about that answer, or you're just being polite? This is what I love about Sia. He'll ask a question like that. He doesn't give two shits about the answer. Do you want to know? Really?
Yeah, because
is this something that you're going to bring up in conversation with your friend?
This is why I want to know, to get the true depth of what it takes to participate in something like this.
This is why Ben's here. Go on, Ben.
Months and months of training, so it's a 1.9-kilometer swim. Okay, work that out.
Okay.
Olympic distance of a swimming pool is 50 meters. Mm-hmm. 1.9 in the ocean, where there's sharks and sewerage and things. Then it's a 90-kilometer cycle.
So you
essentially ride the 94.7 after doing that swim. And then you run 21 kilometers, which is essentially the two oceans half marathon, if you put it like that.
My ass is whoa the fuck out.
And you do it all in the same day, Sia.
Yeah, no.
But wait, in PE in East London, you do double that in one day. Hmm. I met the most fascinating people over the weekend.
People die doing this.
Gareth,
people
die. Hard. It's hard, but it's like another kind of world. This is what I love about sport and things like
that. People are so sick.
Mm-hmm. I met people who did the full thing.
What do they look like? Do they look like...
None of them.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, are they gods and goddesses?
Such
a
good question. No.
Yeah, exactly.
So many of them look dreadful. Like,
yes.
Absolutely dreadful.
Worn out from the inside and out.
No, but like, actually, like, not in good shape. It was the weirdest thing. And it's such an inspiring event to go to because this is people just getting shit done, which we love on the show. People do that, right?
Yes.
The amount of women I saw in their 40s not in great shape doing this, I thought was pretty inspiring.
Huh.
Because you generally wouldn't think that demographic would be Ironmaning, right?
No.
There they are, getting out there.
That's amazing.
Smiles on their faces.
Well,
sure.
Did you take that fat hobo? Did you take him there?
Oh, no, finished
it. That was what you were there for.
Yeah, the final biking journey comes out today.
He finished it.
He did it. 8 hours and 15 minutes. He beat 100 people, Gareth.
Goodness. That's good.
It was, look, as you know, all my sports teams, SA Sport in general, is in the shitter right now. And I actually shed a tear when Hobo crossed the line. It was my first sporting thing I could look at and go, yeah, I can cheer about something.
Because you guys have been working together for what?
Yeah, it's like 10 months. But it was hugely emotional. It was so rewarding. And it was a really cool time down in Durban. Durban is obviously amazing this time of year. Mm-hmm. And then I got so ill. I was just
Durban's
so
amazing
dead.
All year. I mean, it really is. This is the point.
Summer's like cloudy and a bit shitty, let's be honest.
But it's still Durban. Warm.
Yeah,
warm in
like
summer.
A muggy warm.
Yeah.
Winter in Durban is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever find in world travel.
Fair enough.
It's so good.
So listen, you're wearing new headphones, I see.
Yeah, the other ones broke because my head was too big for them.
You found headphones big enough for your head.
These
That's very
enough.
Good. Let's talk about that for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there it is. That's pretty much it, Gareth.
Where's Leanne? Is she awake?
I've actually just followed up.
It's her birthday tomorrow. She's
just trying to find out if she's okay.
She's definitely advancing in years, so she probably forgot that tomorrow's her birthday, that today was Friday, that she had to wake up. You know, people joke. They say to me, oh, you know, you're really mean about Leanne and all those years ago when you guys were together, because there's always people who talk like that who come up to me.
Wow.
They always talk like that. In the end, you used to like rip her. You're what? Who? Hello? And they go, men. Don't be stupid. You know what I mean? You used to say she was a drinker, alcoholic.
No, but she really is.
I said to them, yes, she is.
But she said as much.
No, man, you oaks were making it up. I said to them, this was not a radio show, you fucking idiot. We did this because I had to find things to talk about. So, so I talked about what was going on in our lives. We lived through the whole process of CS having a child. From beginning to, like, the kid was 8, I think, when we left.
Oh, I saw CS this week.
What is he doing?
Oh, CS to Blessis.
Well, he was at this Springbok thing I went to. He's still working for the Chinese.
Is he still in reasonable shape, or has he got quite fat?
No, you know, ginger don't crack.
No, come on, because...
Ginger and black don't crack.
Really, ginger don't crack. Huh?
I know it doesn't rhyme, but it's true. Just because it doesn't rhyme doesn't mean it's not true. But CS,
really, ginger don't crack, huh?
He looks exactly the same age as I've always known him.
Wow.
And he's starting his own coffee business now.
Well, he loves coffee.
Oh, he's obsessed with coffee.
Yeah, the guy's obsessed. Yeah. Well, we must get him in here and talk about his coffee business.
But he's making strides.
So we used to talk about Mabale's depression, and this is what we talked about because this is what people who spend that much time together talk about. So, of course, it was true. There was no way. Why would you listen to me. Why make things up?
Right.
You've got 3 hours a day together, 5 days a week. That's more than most married couples get to spend together.
Yeah.
And you get to have really meaningful conversations, but you also get to really take the piss out of each other because you like each other. You genuinely like each other, so you have fun. Everybody assumes that when you bring up things that are embarrassing or odd or strange or hilarious, that you're trying to be mean because people are so superficial. That they walk up to each other in the office and go, "How are you?" When they don't care about the answer to that question. I can't do the small talk. I went to Harry Sideropoulos' show yesterday.
Last night.
I left my house.
In winter.
In winter.
At night.
I was wearing a fur, goddamn collared thing. I felt cold from the minute I got in the car. I drove to...
What was he paying you?
He didn't... No, you know what? I told Sia...
With love and support.
I told Sia... Well, it was sort of like a bit of blackmail because Harry was here for our first show. You remember he was the announcer, and he's been a really great guy, and I've always liked Harry. He's very talented, very funny, and his show was terrific. But I arrived there, and all the way there, I was going, "Oh, I should have said I shouldn't come. I wouldn't come. I should have said, oh, sorry, Harry, I'm not in the country."
Every light was red.
Yeah.
Black cats running across
the
road.
Yeah. You know how I get. So I get there and it's terrific. He's got food there. There's soup. There's little meat pies. There's like really good food. And you know Harry's a foodie, so we went to a lot of trouble. He used his recipes and made all this stuff. And there was a lot of there was a huge crowd of people. A lot of people who I think might have been famous in the 80s. I didn't know who they were, but they looked like they were people.
Harry Ronga there.
No, you know he's demented.
But I don't know, is he like out of public completely?
Yeah, I don't even know if he... I mean, we'll probably read an obit one day, but he doesn't know where he is.
Oh, shame.
He thinks he's on Mars.
Oh.
So, there are a couple of people who were famous in the 80s. I mean, I recognize them from their hairstyles.
Adrian Steed?
Might have been there. I think he might be dead, though. I think he's gone.
Man, like, all my 80s icons, you're breaking my heart here.
Yeah, you're choosing some very extreme examples here, Ben. I mean, they were old already when you were a fan like people who were on game shows and things like, you know those kind of people?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Katie Katapotis was there, who we've interviewed on this show recently.
Oh, he did say that he was gay. Never mind, you know what I mean.
He's the godfather, Katie's son.
I decided to stop when it was Gaty.
Yeah, Gaty. I mean, that's what a thing to call her. Shame. She doesn't deserve that. So, yeah, you better apologize. And then I saw...
What time did this all
start? I saw
start?
Vanessa Carrera. Now, I haven't seen her in ages.
Yeah, she was from the 80s Miss SA.
No, not 80s. No. She was definitely in the 2000s. But she was fantastic. You know, she's always been a good-looking woman. She still is. She looks great. What a happy couple she and Chris Katroulis make, too, by the way.
And they have like 4 kids now.
Well, they got the triplets, she was telling me. So she told me the whole story. Because, I mean, I haven't caught up with her in years.
That's like the Iron Man of birth.
It is. She had triplets.
Yeah.
And she's got one older child who's, I think, 9.
the Iron Man of birth?
It is. She got a medal.
The vagina-shaped medal. Anyway.
Goodness.
So she's like a mom.
Moses Mabhida Stadium after that.
It is the Moses Mabhida Stadium after that. But, you know, I mean, she's looking great. Who the hell am I to tell? And her husband's terrific, and they're a great couple. And they have not changed one little bit, which I love. I love when people are, they're just consistent. So I had a good time, enjoyed the show thoroughly, but I was watching my clock the whole way through the show. They promised me an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was an hour and a half. It started at 8. I was home at 10.
That's all right.
Are you? Did you even mingle after the show?
I was like a bullet fired out of a gun. I got in my car as the first guy out of the gates. I did a schmooze before.
Yeah.
I didn't need to. What for?
Was there an interval in between where you were also forced to schmooze?
No. I love that. Just go straight through.
Okay.
I even held back. I had a pee on board. I could have got up and taken a pee, but I kept it in. I thought this thing's. I've got 10, 15 minutes and I'll be fine.
Not going to be able to.
No, very good.
Sacrifice.
But it was great, and I would suggest if you want to go, and by the way, he rants about social media and about how vapid society is and how stupid Instagram is and how he hates people who post their relationship shit online.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. It's really, really funny, and if you want to see a good show, this is the one to go for. So I want to introduce you to Gugu, who started working with us here at Cliff Central on – when did you start? Yesterday? Yesterday was your first day? Let me just get him on the line here. He's in the production booth this morning. I told him not to sit at that boring desk outside. Yeah, Gugu, say hello to everybody.
How's it?
Yeah, Gugu, tell us about you. Where are you from and what did you do before this?
Well, originally from Durban.
All right, that's great. That's perfect. Thank you, Gugu. What a great intro.
Thank you very much.
So do you want to come into the studio and just do a little walkthrough so that Ben and Sia can check you out and make sure that you're
I met him earlier.
Make sure you're healthy. Just check him out. Make sure he's healthy. Please, Sia, will you have a look? And
I don't know. I don't know what just happened there.
Pulled his stomach out.
Gosh. That escalated very quickly. No thanks. All right, Gugu. All right.
Is he working? Right, is he working here every day or by the hour?
No, he's working here.
I will not check your prostate either.
We've built him a bedroom on the top floor.
Okay. How long have I been gone?
Ben.
Well, exactly. A lot happens here, Ben.
I need to fill you in on a lot here. Yeah.
There we go. That's Gugu, right? Fantastic.
Had a 3-second intro. Very concise.
Morning, guys. Especially that skiving Ben. Is it skiving? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, derogatory comment.
Anywho, Gareth, I'm finally on your side with these fucking comrades runners who turn up to get participation medals. I'm currently in Umhlanga and want to extend my stay for 2 nights, but I cannot because it's comrades weekend.
Oh,
the
yes.
Bastards. Hope the wind blows them all into the fucking ocean. So that's Sean. Very, very positive this morning. Full of love.
Plan better, Sean.
See, this was our weekend because our family home is right on one of the roads where the comrades run.
Oh, that's
run.
Horrible.
Yeah, you got to sell that house.
No, we actually enjoyed it because...
do you all sit outside with a drink and watch?
I swear.
Really?
Like, yeah. Garden chairs.
It's actually quite entertaining.
We'd have a bit of a picnic.
You see some funny
people, whereabouts
right?
is it? Yeah?
The
is it,
oddest people.
Is it like
the
hot, is it like halfway into the race? Is it near the start, finish? Whereabouts?
Well, they're in Durban, right? So,
if
it's an uphill... Like, if it's an uphill race, they've got to wake up really early.
Yeah, we never did that. No, we always sat down when it was from PMB to Durban. And we're about like 20 minutes outside of Durban.
Okay, so it's actually a pretty good downrun venue.
And people are now being more happy and motivated because they're like near the finishing line. But then you also see the people who are like quarter to death.
That's so, the best. Yeah. I love those the most. It looks like they've lost everything. It looks like someone set fire to everything they own.
Yeah. And their whole life their whole life has been dismantled. Yeah. That's what they look like.
It's not the best when they're in so much agony and in cramps where you have to absolutely help. So people would just give us their thighs like, ow, 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 ow.
Oh, no, you massage a stranger's thighs?
Well, obviously he was selected.
See, is this how... Were you molested when you were doing this? I mean, is this how...
By the comrades runners, yes.
Obviously, Sia was selective. It was like, oh, I'm hurting. And next, no, not you. Yes, you. If you hurt,
is this how you were introduced to sex?
Get away, Kathy.
Comrades
runners. Come here, Luke.
sweaty, disgusting comrades running.
Well, it's an uprun this year, so if you're in Pietermaritzburg, you'll see people quartered to death.
Go to Maritzburg for that. I wouldn't go to Maritzburg for a lot.
And then we'd also get to see that tragic,
you know, Maritzburg
tragic
has the most AIDS of any. Seriously. What? You want to know something? Yeah, people don't talk about this. They go, oh, we got this old city hall, and it's very pretty, and this
like
is the
HIV.
They've got the most AIDS of any city in South Africa. So there's something. They should have a big banner. Welcome to Pietermaritzburg, most AIDS-riddled city in South Africa.
Okay, yes. At what? Africa's highest HIV prevalence.
See? I don't make shit up, Sia. You Google. Are you checking me? Fact-checking me?
You do know I do that at least every 10 minutes on the show.
So, a couple of questions here. Sean continued. I didn't finish his point. He said, those 80s stars, was Ut Buerta there? I don't know who Ut Buerta is.
This is your conversation.
Brumilda van Rensburg? Eddie Eckstein?
Yeah, I was going to say Eddie Eckstein. Is he still turning on the telly?
I don't know. Didn't see any of those.
Eddie Eckstein was like a poor man's Casper de Vries.
Wow.
Michelle says, hey, that new guy sounds vaguely like Ben. That's Gugu. Do you sound like Ben? Say, shut up, Sia.
Ben, I don't know what you sound like, but you don't sound like me.
What do you mean you don't know what he sounds like? You've never heard the show before? You are so fired. You've got like 15 minutes left.
Where did you
this
find
job.
This guy? He comes in with this magic mic routine and never listened to the show.
Yeah, I know.
What's he actually doing here?
You're really doing well this morning, Gugu. You're selling yourself beautifully.
Thanks, Gareth.
Every morning. Terrific. You're great.
This is going to
Jesus,
be delightful.
How was he hired, actually? Do we have a process here? Do we have an HR process, or do we just... Are you HR? Or is
I'm
Pinky
not.
HR? Who's HR at the moment? You see, I meant to know this. I'm the CEO, so someone said that once. Who's HR?
Gareth, it is your company. You should know.
All right. You can message us on 0797-482-090. Any word from Leanne? Has she passed out somewhere? Is she all right?
Not yet, but I think I will call her, though. Because could be something bad, or she could be pre-birthdaying.
She could.
She could have started the celebrations last night.
Exactly. I was going to play her theme music and reminisce a little bit, but we'll get to that later. All right, so Ben is back. He's got lots to tell us in the sport.
I do.
Let's not waste any time. I'll tell you what. We'll start the five things you need to know early today, because it's a podcast. Yeah. See, most people don't listen live. They listen to the podcast, so you can just listen to this whenever you want. Doesn't matter.
Or in Google's case, they listen at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to get precious about things. You do whatever you want. If you want to pause us, you fast forward. Isn't that great? You can do that.
Yeah. Or you can put me on a slightly faster speed today because I'm extra nasally because I'm ill.
That's right. You could, so maybe you could go 1.5 speed.
Try that.
With Ben. Why not?
And then I'll sound like Ben Shapiro.
What? How's that? So I sound like Wacky Ed Simpson.
Okay. Levels, Gareth. Jeepers.
All right. Was that mean? I'm sorry. I take it back. That was unnecessary. You know, he's still got work.
Oh, let's
You know, someone still pays him money every day to wake up and talk shit. That guy.
Let's not do
and you know he's still doing the same kind of stuff that he used to do when he was.
Because that's what people want him to do.
947.
Please.
Don't. Really?
Can you imagine the production meetings at KFM or Heart, wherever he is? He's like, yeah, but just do more of that stuff you used to do at 9.7.
Yeah, that's all. Because there's nothing. There's no other ideas. All right. Anyway, let's get to this. There's a company that has acquired land to grow medical cannabis in the Western Cape. Isn't this great?
Now this is really news we need to know. Oh yeah.
Well, you know. The developers of this medicinal cannabis that they used to treat people who've got pain and arthritis and they're suffering from the symptoms of various diseases associated with cancer, have opened a factory outside Atlantis, which is a great place to open this because Atlantis is a shithole.
Well, that's the West Coast.
Yes, it's a terrible, terrible place. What happened was, and if you hear the story of Atlantis, I can't tell it properly, but it's a sad, terrible, depressing story. Moved a colored community out there, ostensibly to work at that power plant.
Kuburg.
Yeah, and they built this community there, and it's just the most wasted, horrible, nasty desert part of the country. It's arid, it's shit, nothing grows. people are all on tick. It's just the most depressing place. So anything that they can do to bring a bit of work and a bit of levity to people's lives in Atlantis, I'm a big supporter of. So they said their products are backed by solid clinical research. The Canopy Growth Corporation, good for you guys, have acquired 12 hectares of land in the Atlantis Special Economic Zone to produce medical-grade cannabis. You're going to have to put some fertilizer in that soil. In fact, you bring in soil from somewhere else, because that Atlantis soil, nothing's going to grow in that. I hope they've thought of it. They've thought this through.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's quite sandy, like most Cape.
Maybe they'll do it indoors in pots. Yeah, also for all that. We know, you don't know, because they bought this land and now they're going to build a factory. So maybe they'll do it indoors. Then it'll be that. What do they call that
hydroponics
strain? Hydroponic. Oh. The sativa and the indica strain that they're going to grow there. They're going to use soft gel capsules of international quality that they'll produce at the site. The managing director is a guy called Jody Alfrichtig. He said scientists from different disciplines are involved in the production process. So they're going to this like scientists. They're not doing it like weed smokers. You never get high on your own supply.
Yes.
Very important. All right. And then this – have you heard about Forest High? We spoke about this earlier in the week, Ben.
Yes. That kid got arrested for
– stabbing another kid. Yeah. So some parents at the Forest High School on Thursday said they didn't want the 19-year-old accused of murdering a schoolmate back on the premises, even if he was granted bail. I love the way these parents are suddenly involved in their children's lives. It took a stabbing to get them to pay attention to their kids. I don't know the full story, so I know there are going to be some parents that come and stab me, but the fact is... No, but you know, they're from Forest High. Of course they're rough people.
I'm not going to say anything.
But, I mean, really, in order to... Hey, what's the kid's name? Boris? I don't know what the kid's called.
Okay.
Hey, Boris, how was school today? Ah, it was fine. Some guy got stabbed. Oh. Okay. Go and do your homework. That's what most parents at Forest High probably did. But then one or two of them went, what? A stabbing? Time I get involved.
But that really...
I really haven't been involved since grade... What is it? Six? Maybe I'll get involved now.
Even if you weren't involved, though, I don't really judge them for getting involved now. A stabbing is not like, I don't know, the latest trend of, you know, toys spreading around the school. A stabbing is a stabbing, dude.
Yeah, it's a hectic thing. I mean, we never had a stabbing. We used to have people beaten up and that kind of thing, but we never had a stabbing.
The most dramatic thing we had at school
was... We had a lot of guys sleeping with teachers.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. There was this one guy. I was in.
That is so bad.
I was in what, grade 8? Maybe a bit further along. And there was this guy who was in matric. He was banging the teacher. One of the science or biology teachers, that is one so of them. Weird. Oh, yeah. They ended up. I think the two of them ended up getting married after that.
He left
school and they got married and they had a kid together.
That is amateur from both their sides.
But I mean, that's really the kind of story you'd expect from poor whites. So I'm embarrassed to tell that. I don't know how that slipped out.
We just had the choking game. That was it.
What's that?
Do you remember that trend?
Where you'd pass out from...
Yeah, you and your friends would think you're so cool and then you choke each other to the point where you're on the brink of passing out. Then you stop and it's like, oh!
What is this, the Michael Hutchinson so cool. School of Music?
Yeah, some hardcore shit going down at your school.
Do you think I took part? Me with my anxiety? No.
Okay, so should they let this 19-year-old stabber back in the school?
Not.
Of course not, right? No. So the parents are right, so we're on their side. Okay.
How rough is this school?
Yeah, it's very rough. Leanne says it was near her old school, and you know how rough that was.
By the way, she's okay. She just overslept.
Is she coming?
I don't know.
Wow, this show really is just laissez-faire, huh?
I don't know.
Everybody just does whatever the fuck they want.
I just got a text now.
The South African Medical Association said on Thursday it was horrified following the attempted rape of a female junior doctor at a hospital in Bloemfontein. The incident occurred at the Pelonomi Tertiary Hospital on Wednesday. We're frustrated by what has gone out to become a crisis of safety in the workplace, where our interns come in and there's an attempt of rape inside the hospital in a call room. Oh my God. Really? These rapists are everywhere, man. You talk about the killers here. A bunch of men who just do not know how to behave. really, it boggles my mind. And while we're talking about sex crimes, because there are a lot of those on any given day, but you notice we're staying away from politics. We may have to go no politics, no sex crime Fridays, just to keep it clean.
That's a tough one.
R. Kelly has pled not guilty to 11 new sex crime charges. These are new ones. How's that? 11 new felony sex crime charges filed. One of the four cases of alleged abuse that prosecutors lodged against the singer earlier this year. A grand jury last week increased the felony counts against the 52-year-old and upgraded some of the charges. He now faces 5 felony counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault. Mm. If convicted of the most serious charges, Kelly would face mandatory sentences of 6 to 30 years in prison on each count. His lawyer pleaded not guilty during a short arraignment hearing. The next court date set for 26 June. His attorney, Steve Greenberg, dismissed the new charges as a rehashing of old allegations. It's the same case. It's just they changed what they charged him with. This is what the lawyer says. He probably sounds like, it's the same case. He sounds like a rough guy, this too. I mean, imagine, R. Kelly, he's broke, right? Doesn't have any money.
That's what his legal team says.
Like a month, like 2 months ago, he was broke, so now he must be destitute.
This lawyer doesn't want to be there. He really. I mean, he's putting in minimal effort. He's like, they're just rehashing old charges. All right, where are my other cases? I need to make some cash this month. This R. Kelly's never going to pay. He's currently out on bail after paying 10% of a $1 million bond, as required in the state of Illinois. The presiding judge did not increase bail despite the serious charges because Kelly's appeared for all the court dates as required. This guy's a mess. What a mess.
And I said this last week, Friday, when you guys were away, but I'll just repeat it again. If R. Kelly is now facing all of these charges, it's like 21 charges in total.
All of them.
Right? Can't we just find him an average sentence there and then just give it to him? Let's save money. Let's save people's time.
This is Ben's thing every time. The wheels of justice turn slowly unless Ben's in the room. All right. So rescuers continue to search Thursday for survivors of landslides caused by heavy rains in eastern Uganda, as authorities said most of the missing had been accounted for. And the confirmed death toll is 6. I didn't know about this. But it seems in Uganda they've had landslides by, you know, heavy rain. Heavy rain has fallen and then the landslides occurred. And that's a scary thing. You know, you think a landslide's just a bit of mud running down a hill.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
it's an avalanche.
It's an avalanche, yeah.
It's terrible. All right, so that's what you need to know this morning. Those are the stories. We get to Ben, who's probably chock full of sport for you this morning. Bitcoin's at $7,814, Ethereum at $246, so not much movement this week. Let's see what you got, Ben. Do you want to take it away?
Well, I guess from bad to worse, the Proteas, sexism is rife in sport right now, and Israel Folau wants to now sue Aussie rugby.
But hang on. Oh, all right. Well, I'll ask you once you've told us the whole story. This sounds really rotten and really complicated. Oi, so much to get into. Ben, people have missed you. Can I read a message quickly?
Yeah. You're not playing the theme song.
So no, I'll play the theme song. The theme song.
The theme tune.
In a minute, but this is important. Someone just messaged about 5 minutes ago, said, oh, thank God Ben is there. That lazy sack of shit. He hasn't been there to give us sport all week, and now suddenly he pitches up.
5 years of hard service there. Fucking tough crowd here.
Goes away. Ben. There's nothing. And I can't get this goddamn thing to work with your theme music, so just go.
Yeah, okay. So we all know the Proteas, at the start of this tournament, my reasoning was fair. There's about 6 teams that could probably win this World Cup because this round robin, there's going to be rain involved, and it's just the nature of cricket where it is right now. After the T20s, a lot more unpredictable and it's exciting. That's why I said it's going to be the best World Cup in recent memory.
Not for South Africa.
But the Proteas, I don't know how they do it. I said they won't shit their pants. They didn't just shit their pants, they shat the bed. All of the beds. All of them, Gareth. All of them. Even the beds they weren't in, they shat. I know that they were probably going to lose 2 or 3 games in this World Cup. I get that. But the nature in which they capitulated against England, the nature in which they capitulated against India, and then they played Bangladesh, and Bangladesh was like, whatever, bitch, you're going down here too. three out of three. Oh. And now it's all fallen to pieces because Faf du Plessis, after the third loss, he didn't even face the press. He sent Chris Morris, the guy who actually toiled out there. He did it well with the bat, well with the ball. And then Faf's like, well, you've had a good day. Why don't you go talk to the press and, you know, try not tell people I'm a wanker. It's so difficult to be a fan right now, the Proteas. And, of course, in social media, people are diving on here, left, right, and center. Then, Gareth, it gets worse. Then Faf and then Otis Gibson in a press conference were like, yeah, so AB did want to come back and play in the World Cup. Why do we need to know that now? So AB de Villiers retired, okay?
Who's running this? The Keystone Cops?
Exactly.
Who's in charge of South African cricket? And Faf du Plessis, someone obviously hit his head really hard with a cricket bat somewhere in the last 5 years because he's completely stupid.
I would say the last year, look, I've always thought Faf was a good captain. I always liked him in Test cricket in particular. But sheepers, recent happenings are not good.
My brother is a huge cricket fan. He loves cricket, but my God, he hates the Proteas. He hates them with a passion. He was complaining about them last weekend, saying, look at the... He goes, takes me to their... They've got Instagram, right? He takes me to their Instagram feed.
Yeah.
He shows me their Instagram, and it's them, like, enjoying London and doing, like, touristy things. And he's, what the fuck are these people doing? They're not meant to be having fun. They're meant to be practicing. Oh, they just lose. We don't want to see your social media. You're not celebrities. You're cricket players. We pay you. Get on with it.
See, that's the problem. They are celebrities, and I think Faf's become the face of this. So, AB de Villiers retired, okay? Cricket South Africa, and I will give Cricket South Africa credit to, because they're coming under fire from all of AB's fans and a whole bunch of other people who always have these conspiracy theories like, oh, it's the quotas, or it's this, it's that. It's always the same shitty old narrative. So I will straight away put cock on block and say I'm backing the principal decision that Cricket South Africa made, because everyone is so quick to say, oh, these guys have got no principles, they're so flip-floppy, whatever, whatever. They stood by what was happening.
Right.
They said, AB, don't retire. We'll give you a sabbatical. Manage whatever you need to do. All you need to do is make yourself available for the series running into the World Cup, because that's when the team is going to become cohesive and obviously work towards the tournament. Mm-hmm. He's like, guys, thanks, but I've made my decision. I have no regrets. I'm going to retire, and I will play a bit of T20 cricket, because who doesn't like money? And everyone was cool with that. Everybody was cool with that. That's how it was going to happen. 24 hours before the squad was announced, everybody's like, yeah, so guys, actually quite keen to play the World Cup. Can you imagine, like, you're in a relationship where no one's that into each other, and then the guy's like, yeah, I'm moving on. The chick's like, okay, cool. She's like, okay, well, look, I've got a new boyfriend now. And he's like, well, actually, I still like you.
Yeah, you're not going to allow him back.
I mean, what kind of a loser does that? I mean, we've all been there. Either guys have been there or on the receiving end. This is international sport at the highest level. This isn't a booty call. It's not like, yeah, I wouldn't mind playing some World Cup. You guys keen? Obviously, Cricket South Africa would have done anything to get AB there. Anything.
Yeah.
But this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And now this is on top of the three losses, on top of, yeah, it's just hard. It's just so hard to be a Proteas fan. At the same time, entertaining. If you love stories, if you're not too bothered about the results like Gareth, this is very entertaining stuff.
Wow.
But it's not what we want in the results thing. Oh, look, I could go on for hours about this whole topic, but we have to crack on, because there is actually some bloody good cricket happening right now. Yesterday, the West Indies came close against Australia. Umpires decided to not understand what the no ball rule was, which is quite interesting. Anyway, Australia won that one. Mitchell Starc, he's back. He's bowling.
Yes.
And he's bowling well. So he's bowling fast. Steve Smith. You know, another thing about these Australians, you've got to give them credits, and I hate that, but I mean, you've got to be, my job is to be impartial, is that cricket or sport in Australia went backwards when this whole Julio culture came in. All these pricks with their funny hairstyles, tattoos, and Instagram feeds. But they're getting a bit of hard bastardry back in there. And this is what sport's really about. So yesterday, I posted a picture from David Miller's Instagram feed, which your brother's clearly referencing. And there's like six of them in London posing like they all come out of a shoot. And the actual comment was, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
It's like, jeepers.
Well, you made me laugh because the last time you were here, you showed us a post that was actually put out by Cricket England. England Cricket or whatever they're called.
Best hairstyle, yeah.
Yeah. Who has the best hairstyle? Well, there were some hilarious comments on that thread.
Yeah.
Jesus, people hate that.
And then you understand that there's no fortitude in the middle order when batting, because you're too worried about if your denim is going to match your jacket or whatever it is, or your hair is just right, or it's just bullshit. Australia,
celebrities.
Australia, Steve Smith was crying like a little bitch not so long ago because he didn't know what was going on. David Warner was bullying him and they were sandpapering a ball. He went away, gruesome balls. He's come back and he's batting well.
Oh.
He's batting well. He's in for the fight. These Aussies are in for the fight. Sure, they've got a joke of a team still, but they're in for the fight and they're winning games. Okay. Oaks, not in for the fight. They're in for the jaw. They're in for the likes, in for the lols, whatever it is. So next time SA will play will be against the West Indies, and that will be on Monday. But today, you get Sri Lanka versus Pakistan. Tomorrow, you get England versus Bangladesh, Afghanistan versus New Zealand, and on Sunday, India versus Australia. What a biggie that's going to be. Right. I still believe India might be a bit light in the middle order, but yeah, they've only had one game so far, and that was against the Proteas, who, of course, also have lots of injuries to contend with, so it's just really not going so well. But it's a good one to win from here, as they do say in the classics. Now, there's another World Cup happening as of today, Gareth, and that is the Women's FIFA World Cup. That's when the women, Sia, do exactly what the men do, before you had any sexist comments like you always seem to have. And that starts in France. Now, America...
See, it's always got sexist.
He does. Always with the undertone of that sexist chauvinisticness. He always projects into my sport. I beat him to it, Gareth.
Okay.
Through experience. So that saves a little awkward moment there. Okay. So America is the favorites, of course. They've won this tournament 3 times. They're amazing. The Germans have won it twice. The Norwegians once. And the Japanese ladies have won it once. So those are your teams that have won this World Cup. Of course, always overshadowed by the sexism. It's not just CS, it's also FIFA. So FIFA says they have increased the prize money sevenfold in recent years. Now, there's 24 teams in this tournament as opposed to 32 teams in the men's. But FIFA says, despite the fact that they've obviously increased this money, FIFA are kicking up $30 million, right? Guess what the men get, the prize purse?
Tell me.
$400 million.
Jesus.
I know Sia thinks it's no big deal, but that is the difference between that. So if the women's team that wins this World Cup will make $4 million, whereas when the Frenchies won it in Russia, they received $38
million. Hmm.
Now, FIFA are picking up things here and there, and Gianni Infantino saying they're making good steps, as in, if you're a team more than 4 hours away from France, you get business class flights to the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, cool, huh? But then the men's, well, every team gets 50 business class flights to go to the tournament. Yeah, see, this inequality thing. Look, there are certain reasons for to be upset. There are certain reasons to debate. And there are also certain reasons around just sheer scale, okay? So the money is coming into women's football, and I'm certainly happy about it because it's one of those games that everyone can play around the world. You know, my biggest thing is always about participation. The more people playing sport, the less people smoking crack.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to work on the tagline, I know, but yeah. The sentiment's there, if you get where I'm
going. I think that's a good, that's a very positive sentiment.
Exactly. And crack obviously leads to prostitution and like tax evasion and stuff, all those other bad things. So they are going to get more people to play, but there's this gender inequality thing, and it's just these glaring differences that people are really upset about. Anyways, on to the actual games themselves. The Bafana, they're just called the SA Women. Banyana, of course, that's what they're called.
Yeah, I remember that. Sexist.
I always have like a
it's very sexist.
Who's sexist now, Ben?
I always have European websites as references while I talk. And they are in Group B, if you're wondering. So their first match will take place tomorrow, Saturday, at 5 o'clock. They play the Spanish woman. And then earlier, the German woman will be taking on the Chinese woman. So Group B's tough as all hell, got to say. Very, very tough. Tonight, France will be taking on South Korea, if you are looking to watch the opener. In other football news, Eden Hazard has left Chelsea, and he will get £88 million for doing so. He's going to Real Madrid. Of course, he won't get all that money. It's the human trafficking, which is the big win there between Real Madrid and Chelsea. But you got to think, Chelsea, they managed to win the Europa Midweek League, and that was about it last year. Eden Hazard is obviously he's a good player. He's a Belgian guy. He's been really good for Chelsea. But I wouldn't say it's the worst loss, because getting decent money... I think Real Madrid is actually getting a bargain deep down. Mm-hmm. He really is. They really are. Israel Folau, as we know, he is the homophobic Christian rugby player from Australia.
Yeah.
He was banned, sacked, thrown out, kicked out in his ass, call it what you want. And now he's pursuing legal action against rugby in Australia. He says that this country is about richness and everyone has a culture and a creed and a blah, 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 blah. And everyone should be able to express their own stuff. That old chestnut, like, oh, well, free speech and I hate gays. But anyway, he said basically that hell awaits gay people.
Sure, we all know that, though.
That's what the Bible's holding.
Even though it will be really well decorated.
Everybody's getting all cross with Israel for love, but you know what? He's reading the Bible, which is the book he thinks is the most important, and he's interpreting it in... He's taking it literally.
He's regurgitating it, essentially.
But that's what... If you're a good Christian... I hate to break this to you, but if you're a good Christian, you just follow the rules of the book, which is what he's doing, and if it makes you a bigot, then... You know what? You've got to think about it this way. Either I carry on being a Christian... Or I'm a Christian hypocrite, or I give up on this and I become a member of society that doesn't have a problem with gays.
Yeah.
But you can't have all of them.
You can't, Gareth, you're right. I know Jonathan Witt, who is a controversial character on social media, said that, well, if Israel Folau is going to get banned, then why isn't Hashim Amla or other devout religious people getting banned? Because all these books don't like the gays.
No.
Let's be honest. I mean, there was no love for the gays back when these books were written. And that's why we've also got to move on in life, people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not still reading Reader's Digest and looking at what's happening on TV. Remember Reader's Digest? They were everywhere, those things. We've all moved on. We've got the internet now. We've got tolerance. We've got people who are friends with each other. We've got gay marriage. You know how good gay people are for society?
Sure.
Very good. I'll prefer gays over Christians any day. You tell me how many hit singles Christians have had. And I'll show you Freddie Mercury, Elton John, George Michael. You tell me what's Christianity really done for us?
Pat Robertson.
Other than giving some social structure, I will give. But I mean, the gays have added a lot more in modern times. Let's be honest, they're a lot more fun to be around. They've made things a lot nicer to look at.
All right, Ben.
So Israel Folau, maybe you're just backing the wrong team. Maybe it's also that, and it's okay. We all make mistakes. But I do think he kind of has a point that if everyone was to be such a like you say, Gareth, let's simplify this. You can't have it all.
No, you've got to choose.
You've got to choose.
You put your stake in the ground. So either you're a very devout Christian, and that means you've got to be against the gays. You can't be a Christian and be for them. You can't. It's just God, the Christian God, the God of the Bible, says very clearly he's not keen on that. He doesn't like it.
I just think religion has no place in sport. That's where I was kind of going with that.
Oh, yes, exactly. And this is a dumb rugby player. Yeah. Let him just do what he does. Let's chase a ball around on a fucking field.
So when you get interviewed, let's hear about sport. Let's not hear about some old laws in a stupid old book. Okay. And finally, Gareth, in
look
tennis,
at how we dealt with that. Now, if only all these other international bodies that deal with sport could deal with it like we did.
And simply. World peace.
Huh? Yeah.
So final bit of sexism.
Oh, okay. Yeah. More for Sia.
Not done.
Good.
French Open. It's been pissing down with rain all week, and it's very unfortunate. I know that they're putting a roof into the main stadium. It's all just taking far too long. Because now, with all this rain, there's been like washouts of days.
Yes.
So the women's semifinals have been moved to lesser courts to accommodate the men's semifinals. Aye. Now, Guy Forget, don't mess that one up if you're an amateur broadcaster, otherwise you'll say Guy Forget. Guy Forget, who's the tournament director, he said, look, this is not sexist. We mean no harm by this, but ultimately you've got to think big spectacle, right? You got Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, and team. Okay, these are your men's semifinalists. Then on the women's, sorry, I don't mean in a derogatory sense, but you've got Ashley Barty, Amanda Anisimova, Joanna Konta, and Marketa Vondrousova.
Yeah, right. I think they can do the lesser courts. I think that's okay.
So, look, it's a scheduling thing. It's not ideal, I know, but everyone's got to make sacrifices when plan B and C are already out of the window. Okay, we're done. But Nicole Vladisova, who's going to be the youngest person in a Grand Slam semifinal, says, nah, she's cool. Let's go play because she doesn't want to wait any longer. She wants to get out there. And if they're playing on a lesser court, then so be it. But it could have a Monday finish for the men's final. Women's final might be on Sunday. But yeah, sexism is rife, Gareth, according to many things. Or logistics need to be logisticized. There's also that.
What's logisticized?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to be impartial. It's my new thing in life. And finally, for your Super Rugby before the weekend, we've got the Highlanders versus the Bulls. Second last round of fixtures, if you're still in this. It's like Survivor, this thing. Highlanders versus the Bulls. Andre Pollard has been rushed back into that match. Reds versus the Blues. That's all today. And then tomorrow, Crusaders versus Rebels. Waratahs, Brumbies, Lions, Hurricanes, Stormers versus the Sunwolves. And the Jaguars will take on the Sharks, the final match of your weekend. That's it for your sport. Next week, US Open Golf. Damn, that's exciting.
All right, I got an email for you, Ben, from Surette.
Hi, Surette.
Surette says, I love your show, fantastic group of people. Excuse the long-winded email, but it's a complex scenario. You guys should actually have sympathy for poor old Fuff du Plessis and the team. They went into the tournament with a dysfunctional system. I'm not an expert on cricket, but our youngest son has been in a provincial cricket team for most of his schooling years. Each team are allowed a maximum of 6 white players out of a squad of 14. There has also been a number of non-white kids who bat and bowl high up on the order regardless of their talent. The good thing about this is that some great talent comes from the black, Indian, and coloured communities that have come through and are doing very well. Unfortunately, the general cricket infrastructure is that many government schools are not improving sufficiently. So some of these kids are promoted out of their depth and without proper support systems. Another downside is that many talented white kids don't get opportunities and decide to go elsewhere. For the last few years, most aspiring white and non-white kids don't even attempt to play high-level cricket in South Africa because of the politics. The same applies to coaches, management, and medical staff. In theory, it all seems fair in order to address the inequalities of the past, but we shouldn't compete on the world stage and think that this is going to work. To compete at the highest level, you need to have the best, most competent, and experienced players, management, and coaches.
Totally agree. I totally agree with that, but in the cricketing World Cup sense, how is it that New Zealand have a bunch of ragtag guys, Bangladesh, they throw guys together, they somehow manage to get to tournaments and able to win games? Our guys, they look, there's enough talent at the top level, right? Now, your argument is great, and it's a different conversation because that needs to be addressed because it's not going to help us anyway. But we've got enough guys at the top level to at least be competitive, and we're not even competitive.
God damn it.
That's a big issue for me.
All right, Siret, there we go. You see, we don't...
But thanks, Siret. You are right, essentially. It's just
we don't leave any stone unturned. All right, Said by Sea is coming up in a second. But how would you like to win an epic adventure for two to Machu Picchu?
Yes, I would. Yes, that sounds good.
Tokyo?
So far sounds also amazing.
I'd love to go to Tokyo.
Also.
The Northern Lights?
Can I win this before you get my hopes up too high?
I think you can. Italy? Or anywhere else in the world. All expenses paid on your bucket list of destinations. Would you like that?
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the Waste Your Time Better competition. It takes just 90 seconds to enter online. Go to wasteyourtimebetter.co.za. Go there now. I'll give you a minute. Wasteyourtimebetter.co.za. The next thing is that you'll realize you don't have to speak to anyone. Yeah, I can hear Ben hammering away at his keyboard like a chimpanzee at a typewriter. That's what you got to do. The great thing is you don't have to speak to anyone. That's why Naked Insurance is doing this giveaway. It's exactly the way they do car insurance. With Naked, you don't have to waste 45 minutes on the phone to pay less for car insurance. You don't have to waste energy worrying about the small print. Naked is an authorized FSP and their comprehensive car insurance is underwritten by Hollard. Check it out. It takes just 90 seconds to enter. Tell those people in your family who are always asking you for money and those people who are always complaining about how hard they work. Tell them to go and enter as well. Get them off your back. You know what I mean, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
Say to them, go on this goddamn site and do the work yourself. You know, it's like when a guy enters the lottery and he keeps praying to God and then eventually he doesn't win and he says, oh God, you didn't let me win the lottery. And God says, you meet me halfway and buy a ticket. So it's the same thing here. Wasteyourtimebetter.co.za. Go and take a look at it now. Or you can hop on our Twitter at cliffcentral.com for the link. It's all there. And of course, T's and C's apply, but you can read those yourself because you're an adult. That's wasteyourtimebetter.co.za.
But also make with the haste because I see here 7 days, 9 hours, and 3 minutes until competition
closes. Exactly. So get in while it's hot.
What option did you pick? What holiday destination?
Yes, Tokyo City Adventure.
Ooh, nice. I would love to go to Tokyo. I believe it is fascinating. Oh, I can't enter, I don't think. You can, Ben.
What, those T's and C's?
Yeah, it's probably somewhere in there. They always exclude me. Gareth Cliff's not allowed to enter. A douchebag. All right, here's Sia. Said by Sia.
My snapping was offbeat there, but you get the gist of it. Well, Robert Downey Jr. is clearly living his fictional character of being Iron Man. And I think he's taken it too. Off being offset as
I'd pretend to be Iron Man the whole time. I'd walk around in the outfit. I swear I would.
there's something cool about that. Mm-hmm. Because we know he's a beloved Hollywood actor, but this week, I think he can now officially add robotics environmentalist to his list of good qualities.
What?
So there's this Mars conference that happens in Las Vegas. People get to release all of their various innovations that they're working on, and it seemed like it was straight out of a scene from Iron Man when Robert Downey Jr. hit the stage to announce that he has created a new foundation which will use nanotechnology and robotics as a means of cleaning up the planet. This is quite cool. Well, Robert did not disclose many details on how the organization will begin its cleanup mission, but a Footprint Coalition website went live shortly after his announcement. So as of right now, the website only features a sign-up sheet for future updates, but Robert did also say that he'll be spending the next 11 months collaborating with UN experts and building up the organization so the coalition can get to work by April 2020.
Jarvis?
Well, Jarvis. No mention of that. You know, one superhero at a time here. After
Jarvis is the computer seer. You obviously don't care about Iron Man. You're so not interested in the Avengers.
No. You're unsurprised by that, are you? Exactly. After that, Robert did say that between robotics and nanotechnology, we could probably clean up the planet quite significantly within a decade. So he also explained how his neglect towards the environment in the past is now inspiring him to take action. So this is quite cool. Let's see what happens here. He's bringing on his wife as well to work with her, and they're also doing some work in AI as well.
Pepper.
So, you know, Robert Downey Jr., even if you are quite influenced by your character, maybe you're just high on that supply. Yeah, I think there'll be some good.
I want to flag something quickly. I know this is said by CEO, and we're meant to be positive and optimistic, but yeah, I just want to flag something. This global climate thing,
mm-hmm.
and the environment as a category, of it's become a magnet for virtue signaling assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, people who have done nothing with their lives and are not interesting people are telling you that they're doing something for the environment. You see it on social media. Some Hausfrau is saying how she separates her rubbish and doesn't she deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for it. There's some actor or actress who goes to a conference and thinks that they're Jesus Christ coming back to Earth. Stop it, okay? The Earth is fine. And I know this is going to upset people, but the Earth is fine. It's might not be fine for humans forever.
Oh, Jesus.
Because we might pollute the Earth to the point where we can't live, but other things will live. There will be plants that will find a way through evolution to survive, just like they did through the massive cataclysm that wiped out the dinosaurs. There will be a few mammals, probably not us, but some other mammals that will survive.
I think that's what's uncomfortable.
Yeah, so
the fact that we'll be gone.
So stop pretending this is some altruistic thing. It's about you, and you are the selfish individual. If you go around telling everyone how you're saving the environment because you're just looking for virtue points, and I'm tired of this. I don't want to hear what you're doing for the environment.
Okay, then I'm also not going to bring up the story about how a football field-sized asteroid could hit Earth this year. Never mind.
Here's holding stumps, all right?
Every 6 months we hear a story like this.
And it never happens.
Let's not talk about that in the next hour.
Ben Affleck's out there in the stratosphere shooting them down.
I want to close my eyes. Don't want to fall asleep because I miss you, babe.
Look,
all
I'm saying then is if Robert were to have some sort of a shuttle to take us out of here before this asteroid hits us.
Well, if there's going to be a shuttle, look to Elon Musk. Robert Downey Jr. pretends for a living, okay?
Yeah, they say this enormous asteroid has a diameter wider than a football field.
Okay, that could cause some damage.
Has a 1 in 7,000 chance of hitting the Earth later this year. Watch all the pessimists go, it's gonna happen.
Get those people like, oh, it's the world ending. It's like Y2K people. And
well,
what was the other one?
A lot of the religious folks, mm-hmm. they want the world to end. They can't wait for the world.
Because they're like, oh, the calendar's ended here. Yeah, because they stopped making calendars.
The end is nigh.
Crap.
If you want to pay attention to it, note down the 9th of September 2019.
No, people who make these stories are the nigh.
We'll be back here on the 10th of September, and we'll say, like that kid from The Simpsons.
That annoying shit.
Nelson. All right. We got more emails. We got lots of news. We got things to talk about. We're going to get to O'Neill. Are we going to talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill sent me an invitation to his birthday party, but it looked like he was celebrating his erectile dysfunction.
That was weird.
Why, was Pele there?
No, but it's hilarious. I'll get him to tell you himself. So all of that's coming up. There's plenty to keep you busy and to keep you happy this morning. You can get hold of us on 0797-482090. Does that excite you, the idea of talking to us? Well, anytime you want to, you can do that. You can reach us. You can send us a voicemail. You can send us a WhatsApp. You can send us a tweet. Whatever you want. That's the number. All right? You got it? Fantastic. All right. Good. Let's get your day started. Everybody. Wake up, rise and shine. It's winter, but that doesn't mean you don't have things to do.
CliffCentral.com